Hey, everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap, as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody else who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach. And just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I'm going to be for a minute. I hate this time of year, which is weird because I love Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
But it's starting to get cold. It's
cold and rainy.
Dark at 4:30.
Yep.
My fantasy football team got a fucking ass beaten by...
Yours truly.
Mr. Smedley.
That's not an ass beaten. You did have the highest points in a loss this week, though.
Man. I'm going to get to a point about that. I missed a deer last week. I had a great opportunity this morning to get one and just couldn't make it happen. Like, I feel like I really need a personal win. You know? Like with the fantasy football thing, that's my fault. I didn't make the right decisions, right? On the deer, that's my fault. Like when you have losses that are totally under your control, like it hits you harder.
Yeah.
Like when shit just happens and you're like, oh, okay, whatever. But when you look in the mirror and you're like, that is 100% my fault.
Yep.
And then you like string some of those together. You're like, if I don't get a win soon,
I'm a loser.
I'm going to the bar and I'm getting drunk and I'm getting in a fist fight and I'm probably going to lose that too because I'm on a shit fucking streak right now. I don't believe in seasonal depression, but it's like, damn.
Yeah.
It's hit me hard right now. I need a win, dude. Yep. I need a freaking personal win.
Yeah. You and Grant are in the same boat there. I've taken Grant for 4 sits in the stand, 2 in the evening and 2 in the morning.
Today's last day, too.
I know. And the dude, like, for some reason, when I go hunting with Mason, we see deer all the time. Mason will be like, this is boring. And it's because it's gone 23 minutes without him seeing a deer.
What a douche.
Mason's only ever sat in the stand 3 times, and he's killed 2 bucks.
Yeah.
Grant has sat in the stand 3 years, and he's only seen, like, 5 deer.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I can't, ironically, today's show is how to solve problems, and I can't figure out what's wrong other than, for some reason, Grant doesn't want to go opening day, and Mason does, and I think the property that we hunt is small enough that after the pressure of opening day, the deer kind of find other places to go. And then, so by the time Grant shows up to hunt,
they're only passing through.
Only passing through or whatever. So,
yeah, and that's kind of my problem too. Is like, they're problems, but they're problems I can't solve,
right?
Unless given an opportunity, you know what I mean? Like, I can't fabricate the opportunity and then be successful,
right?
So it's like I can't even. I think that's what's so frustrating.
Yeah,
is that I there's nothing I can do about it.
Yeah,
I just got to wait for the next opportunity. And then get a win. But until then, I'm just pissed off. And it's cloudy and rainy and shitty outside. It's very, very frustrating. And for some reason, this time of year and then February when I'm waiting for spring are the worst for me. It's like it's just... it's horrible.
Yeah, February is kind of the... That's when it's the coldest, the snowiest.
And you know... But you know...
The darkest. I think the...
No, the darkest day is the solstice, and that's like December 22nd or 8th or something like that.
Yeah.
The thing about February is it's any day could be warm, and so you're just waiting.
Yeah.
You're just sitting there waiting, but it's like the don't have a problem to solve thing. It's out of your control.
Yeah.
You're just waiting, and you're waiting. And I think for a lot of people, like you're this way, you want to be moving forward.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let's go. That's how I am.
Yep.
But when everything's holding you back, it's cold, it's shitty, there's no opportunities, there's nothing you can fabricate and overcome and do. It's just like, you feel like you're stuck in purgatory.
Yep.
You're like, this sucks.
Yeah, that's...
Not to be a downer first thing out of the gate, but fuck!
Well, living in the Midwest, it's part of it.
Yeah. I'm I'm still thinking about the beach house thing too. You know, that doesn't help.
Danielle and I were talking about that last night. Like, I don't know if I could live on the coast.
You and I talked about this.
I'd feel like I'm living on the edge of the edge of society. And like, cause like we live in Kansas City. I can go anywhere in any direction.
Yeah.
But
what are you doing?
I'm showing you the rack that Mason got.
Oh.
So this was Mason's opening day deer. Nice little 10 point. Yeah.
It is on.
It's running. Thank you, baby.
Did you just come in here and fucking question me? Get your fucking ass out of here.
Yeah. She just told you were number one.
You think she's the first one?
Yeah. But yeah, nice little 10 point.
Yeah, he's a nice looking buck.
This is one of those deer that like if you had hundreds of acres and all of that stuff.
Yeah, you'd
like,
let him go.
This is one of those deer that you want to let go, right? But when you only hunt 10 acres and it's the right 10 acres, but you don't have enough land to hold deer on the property, you take that one.
You know, this is
especially
weird.
When you're 16.
This is weird, and I'm no expert, but like looking at the mass on this deer, like
he's probably only 2.5-year-old deer.
Oh no, I was going to say, I wouldn't maybe be surprised if this is a 4.5-year-old deer that just didn't take off yet. And I wouldn't be surprised if this is a 3.5 that's about to be a stud.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think you could place him either or.
Yeah.
If that's a 3.5, okay, now stop it.
I'm going to break it.
Yeah.
Break the nose pieces.
That's a good looking deer though.
Yeah.
Good for him.
And then Grant sees two does and a 3-point buck. Had a little tiny spike on one side and a little tiny fork on the other.
Yeah. You're like, dude, don't shoot that guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure he wanted to. I'm going to
like, Grant, you weigh more than that deer.
Yeah. Just carrying him out of there.
Yeah.
On his back. Like a stud. He would love it. I don't know. So you're going to go tonight or not?
Maybe. Tonight's the last.
You keep
night.
Saying maybe.
Yeah, I know. Well, I'm not going to go by myself. I'm not hunting for me.
Have you shot a deer?
This year?
Yeah.
Have I shot? Well, yeah. I shot at Grant's.
Oh, that's right.
Last, Grant shot.
Why wouldn't you go by yourself?
I don't really have any interest in.
It's not fucking date night.
Taking a deer.
You can't take the boat out.
No, I know. Yeah. I don't really have an interest in going. I want to get the boys a deer.
I know you do. I'm not saying which one would be the priority. I'm saying if he doesn't want to go, why wouldn't you just go?
Yeah, still might. Never know. Maybe I'll call up my dad and be like, hey.
Yo, dog, let's go.
Let's go.
Has he shot one?
No.
He's only trophy hunting at this point, too.
He gave me all of his racks.
I know. I saw your stupid-ass video of the deer you hung in the hallway.
Yeah, that's his old... it's a 50-year-old mount. Boy, she was mad.
She didn't look mad.
Oh, she was mad.
Was she?
She was, like, literally, as I'm hanging it on the wall, she's sending me a text. Let me read it.
You better not be hanging that fucking deer up.
This is hilarious.
I don't know if Janine would let me hang deer in the house or not. I have them in my office because that's like they're for me. I don't, you know, if I like just came up and started hanging them in the house, she'd probably like her dad has some really nice deer hung up. I don't think she'd go for it.
Where did she text me?
She's kind of princessy. That doesn't go with the house. Janine.
Oh, yeah.
Janine.
Totally.
You can't fucking put that up here. It's up. Where? What are you going to do? I'm definitely going to go out. I know I was asking you if you were going to go out, but I am definitely going to go.
Maybe it was on TikTok.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to find the message that she sent me.
After?
No. Like, while I'm hanging it on the wall. It's fucking hilarious.
You did. I am a little disappointed in you. So I watched that. And for people that are, just go to Mitch Smedley on Facebook and you'll find his video of her. You did cave very quickly. Like you didn't even put up a fight.
No. Well, it's because she was mad. Okay, so.
It's because she was mad. That's my point, bitch.
So I text her, and I'm like, where are you at? Because she was upstairs. And it was like noon on the weekend or something. And she says, I'm still in bed because I'm starving, and we have nothing to eat, and I have no energy or to get anything, and I want chicken and noodles from the crock pot, but there's leftover chili in the crock pot, so I have to clean that out first and then go to the store, and I have no energy to do any of that. Also, I need a shower, and I have no energy to do that. And she's like, I got other things that I need to do, but I need to shower first, and I have no energy to do that. I'm about to start crying. Like, she's just overstimulated, undermotivated. One of those cycles of women, right? They do this 12 times a year.
I mean,
she's literally sending me those texts while I'm hanging that deer on the wall. And so I'm like, babe, come downstairs.
Dude, I don't know if I've ever heard a rant like that. Like, I'm hungry, but we don't have any food. Dude, your house is stacked with food.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck does that even mean?
But
you and I have this conversation a lot. And I've known Danielle for... How long have you guys been together?
20 years.
Married 20.
No, married 20. 18.
So I've known together her 20. 20 years.
Yeah.
She's like my sister.
Yeah.
Bitch is insane.
Yes.
She is crazy as hell.
Yeah.
I would do anything for her. I love her to death.
Yeah.
That is another level of fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
and so, like, I already knew she was cranky before she sent me all that. And then,
is that why you caved so quickly? Because you knew?
No, I didn't even see that until after.
I was gonna say,
all that went down.
Because you knew the next level was me being stabbed in the face with a pin.
The video's funny because she's like, it's not going in this house and I'm not touching it, so take it down.
Yeah. Take that deer down, Mitch. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Funny
what
stuff.
What did you do with it?
It's in the garage. Hung in the garage.
We should hang it in here.
We could. We very well could. It's pretty tall. It's those older mounts are...
Yeah, they're taller.
They're very erect.
They're right? not offset shoulder mounts. They're very up.
Yeah, very up. So
it's not like it's a big deer. Let's just fucking hang it right over there or something.
Yeah, I don't know. Find somewhere to...
We need to redo this podcast room anyway.
It'd have to go like where Gunner is and then up. Maybe I'll move Gunner somewhere and then put it there. Who knows?
It is a shitty looking mount because it's so old.
Oh, that's it looks like something you'd see in Hooters with like big glasses on it or something.
Yes, we should get some glasses for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's your stereotypical like
shitty,
country bumpkin taxidermy.
Like, it's one of the ones you see.
I mean, it used to be a good mount.
It's one of those ones you see at a garage sale.
Yes.
Yeah. Where the guy's like, yeah. Just take it.
Yep.
Like, he's just trying to throw it away.
You can have it.
But can't bring himself to throw it away. Like, just take it.
Yep.
Oh, my God. You want to get to the specifics of what we're talking about?
Yeah. So, today's topic is...
Half-ass excited answer ever.
Today's topic is how to solve a problem. And literally in business, you're going to, like...
Or life.
Yeah. But in business, it's literally the super successful people in business find problems and then they find solutions. And if they don't like when their business seems to be running well, because they know there's problems happening that they just aren't seeing.
Yeah.
And so if you don't like solving problems, don't start a business. Because you will have more problems than you know what to do with.
Yeah.
Now, if you're a natural problem solver, then okay, you may be successful in business. I think that's why there are more men business owners than women.
Oh,
is
shit.
Because typically a man is more apt to solve problems. Like I'm being a little stereotypical. I'm definitely not bashing women. But like, how many times in a relationship between a man and a woman is the woman wanting to vent about the problem and complain but not actually have a solution, right? So like when the wife comes to you with...
100%. I'm trying to choose my words carefully.
Yeah.
I don't want to be called a sexist because...
Well...
You're right. It's just 100%. People these days refuse to accept the fact that we're different. You and I are different.
Yeah.
Men and women are different.
Yeah.
They have their attributes. We have our attributes. So it's not like it's a negative. It's just we're just different. And
bring
you're
on
right,
the,
though.
Bring on the shaming, but like how many times is a man and a woman, like the woman's complaining, bitchy, whatever, and she's having a bad day, she's in a bad mood or whatever, and she comes to the man with like, this person said this, and I didn't like it, and these don't fit, and I didn't like that, and this didn't taste right. Like they're just having a bad day, and the guy's like, "Well, let's go get you something that does fit, and let's go talk to that person that said something you didn't like."
Want.
And they're like, "No, I don't want a solution. I just want you to listen so I can vent." Right?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably why that men are more often business owners than women.
Well, let's be honest. Men build highways. Men build skyscrapers. You know, like 90% of engineers are men. It's just, we're just built that way.
Yeah.
We're built to solve problems
yeah.
and to move forward and not get hung up on the...
Yeah, and if you're a woman that's not like the typical woman, right? And if you're a woman who loves solving problems and everything else, more power to you.
Dude, we have had three women in Tradewinds. We have two right now. Those yeah. three women were not like that.
No, right.
Like, this is going to sound bad. They're like dudes.
Yeah.
They're like, no, give me the problem. Let's get the fuck after it. Like, how do I solve it? They're asking us. Like,
and
how
give
do we
me
solve
more
this?
Problems.
Yeah. How
right?
do I solve this? Yeah. How do I do that? How do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, full transparency. It's just a numbers thing,
yeah.
really. But yeah, I mean, to your point, we just, it's almost like, and this is how I am, I look for problems like at home. How could I make, and maybe it's not problems, but how could I make this better?
Right.
You know, how could I make this more efficient?
Yeah.
How could I make the yard look this way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it just naturally, our ambition to do those things makes us better.
Yeah.
At business, as makes us more apt to be business owners.
Yeah. You dive into the mind of there. A typical man and
get off the rails here.
It's pretty wild. Like, there's a couple of videos I watched that are kind of humorous, but they're humorous because they're accurate as hell. And it's like, what goes through a man's mind throughout the day? And he's like,
chaos.
He's like looking out the window and he goes, I bet that's about 700 yards to that tree line. I bet if I practice like within 10 shots, I could probably be accurate at 700 yards.
Yeah.
Like that's
a real thing guys do.
That's what men do, right?
Yeah.
Or they'll look at a building and they'll be like, wow, I wouldn't have figured that gauge of steel would hold up like that. That's kind of interesting, right? Yeah.
Or we drive by a house and we're like, you know what? I wouldn't have done it that way. I'd have done it this way and I'd have a yeah. pond over here and my pool would be over here. And this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I'd have a BMX track out front. Like, yeah. just crazy.
Men tend to gravitate towards like the analytics of like, what do I want to do and how would I do it?
Yeah. And, how would I make that happen?
Yeah. And women tend to gravitate more towards the emotion of how they feel after something is done. And so, like, yeah. men have an argument because we want to solve something. Women have an argument just because they haven't had an argument in a while and they just want to be catty.
That may be the most sexist, fantastic thing you've ever said on this show.
But I mean, it's true.
But you're right. That's why men have fights and fist fights and arguments with their buddies.
Right.
It's because they want to solve the problem this way. And yeah. that guy wants to solve it this way. And neither one of you are wrong.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's
yeah.
just another way.
Yeah.
And so you got to work that shit out.
And you know? So that's one of the things when it comes to solving problems is like, in business and in relationships, you... Like, one of the rules to solving a problem is you have to remove your pride from the solution or the creation of the solution. In other words, if you've clearly identified a problem, it doesn't matter who came up with the idea on how to fix it. It doesn't matter if it was solely your idea, solely my idea, or pieces of yours and mine together to come up with the solution. The Yeah. solution is, how do we solve the problem, right? And if we let our pride get in the way, then we allow problems to happen that aren't really problems. They're just problems because they affect our pride.
Yeah.
I mean, that happens.
That's a great.
That happens a ton, right?
Yeah.
So like.
That's fantastic.
I'm trying to think of some really good examples of that. You'll have. When you let your pride. Typically, your pride is coming in the way because you're refusing to accept accountability for your involvement in the creation of the problem. And some people don't want to be listed as part of the problem, right?
Yeah.
And that's the whole cliche way to own somebody on the internet now. Like, they'll say some weird statement and then they'll say, like, you're part of the problem. Or if you do this, you're part of the problem. Or you're part of the problem if
yeah,
blah, 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 right?
I just, yeah.
And right. and it the reason that statement on the internet works so well is because people don't want to be part of a problem. Right? On as large, like people as a whole, they don't want to be part of a problem. And so it's a way to kind of get a dagger into somebody if you can tell them they're part of the problem.
Yeah. We usually people say what offends them the most.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that you, so when you see that all the time, you know it's a true statement from everyone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you're right. They don't want to be part of the problem. So if I tell you you're part of the problem, it validates what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And so like where this would manifest in business is we humans have this interesting way to remember good performance in like internally, personally, like I have, you know, a better memory of good performance than bad performance. And I say I like I'm not me, but like
I know what
like when we're thinking about ourselves, we remember good performances more than bad performances. And so on a long enough timeline, like as an employee, you remember all the things you did good. You don't remember the things you did bad. And so when your manager or your mentor or your leadership comes to you to address a performance issue, you take it personally because you don't want to be labeled as part of the problem, even though you are. And you don't remember all the times you made the mistake. And so you're only remembering all the good things you brought to the company. And so that creates a lot of friction between you and the manager because you're sitting there saying, like, I did this good and I did this good and I did this good. And you're only harping on me when I did this bad. Right?
That's a very interesting way to put it. Because what I think internally, when we think about things, I know this is me. Internally, I remember all of the shit performances I have. Like for me,
yes,
those stand out more than any of my wins.
Leaders go the other way. Leaders, yeah. so it's kind of like take like the hero thing, right? The Guardian, the movie The Guardian with Kevin Costner.
Oh yeah, can't save them all.
And everybody was asking for his number. Yeah. Everyone was asking for his number. Everyone was asking for his number, right? And we're not talking phone number. We're talking about the number of lives he's saved.
Yeah.
And finally, towards the end of the movie,
yeah, he says
like all leaders do, he says like 13. And they were like, really? That's it? I would have thought it would have been higher.
No, it's like, no.
And he's like, no, 13 is the people I didn't save. I couldn't save.
Yeah.
I don't remember the ones I did.
Yeah.
I remember the ones I couldn't, right?
Yeah.
That's what leaders do.
Yeah.
Is like leaders focus on the problems and they focus on where they failed so that they never go back there again.
Yeah. It's just a natural. You know, we talk all the time about mindset. That's just kind of a natural mindset for someone that is driven, right?
Yes.
That being said, that doesn't mean you can't develop into that.
Oh, totally.
Like, you start thinking about self-awareness and thinking about what your actual performance is and thinking about where you want to go in life, you can have a mindset switch and be the other way around. People like to argue all the time, well, I'm just not that way. Well, you're choosing to not be that way.
Yeah.
Like, you literally could look in the mirror and be like, no, I want to be better,
yep.
And I want to overcome these things. Will you be Elon Musk? No.
Right.
But that doesn't mean you can't be better than where you are right now.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think people a lot of times get stuck in that spot of, well, I can't be the very best, so why even fuck with it?
Right.
You know, I'm just, and then they use it as a crutch.
Yep. Yeah, the biggest perspective shift I ever went through in developing as a leader and as a manager was I used to be very prideful and I used to expect myself from others.
You would expect perfection.
Well, because I
expected perfection because that's the standard I held myself to.
Right.
That's also why a lot of guys didn't fucking make it and probably should have made it underneath me.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like that's one of those things I think about.
Yeah.
You know, a bad decision I made or acted poorly and should have been better. Like,
yeah.
I kick myself for that all the time.
Yeah. We've told the story on the show before about the first time I replaced a residential sewer and I broke the hydraulics on the machine twice on the same job.
Yeah.
And I just didn't know.
Yeah, I know.
But I've never made those mistakes again, right? And this was after this perspective shift that I went through. But the perspective shift was removing my pride. One of my mentors said to remove the word I from my vocabulary.
Yeah, and put we in.
And put we in its place. Yeah. So part of...
That's good advice for anyone listening,
yes.
too.
And so what happens when you remove the word I is it helps you remove your pride from the cause of the problem and the solution. In other words, I don't care who gets credit for the solution, and I don't care who's responsible for the cause. We should all push towards clearly identifying a problem and then clearly putting something in place so this problem doesn't affect us anymore. Right?
Yeah.
And so this was at the company that I was at for 10 years, and we were trying to grow the company, and we would run into problems. Early on, it was I and you. I would say, like, I wouldn't do that. You messed up, and all of this, like, blaming, yeah. Right? That's your pride getting in the way.
That's bad leadership.
You're trying to absolve yourself of any part of the problem, being part of the problem, by saying, you did this. I did my job right. You failed. All this kind of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And there's times for accountability, for sure. But we started actually making considerable progress whenever a problem would happen, and I recognized there's no point in getting mad because the problem's already happened.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
Right? And so now I would say something like, what can we do together to prevent this problem from happening again? Instead of trying to place the blame on who dropped the ball, who had the leak, who didn't measure the right pipe, who broke the thing or whatever.
Yeah.
It's what can we do to help ensure that we never have this problem again? Yeah. Right. And so then when you start that problem solving conversation with a we statement like that, now everyone's guards off. You know, if you and I were working on something and I said, Dave, you fucked up.
I would say yes.
Well,
but maybe, if I was your employee, I get what you're saying.
You're going to take it personally and you're going to think there's some like emotional beef between us and all of that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But in reality, it would be like, we fucked up. What can we do to fix it? And that gives you an opportunity to own your fuck up without somebody placing it on you.
Yeah.
And so...
And people know, like, let's be honest, when you're a leader in a business and someone is a fuck up or really screws up a job, people know.
Yeah.
They know, you know, everyone in the company knows.
Yeah.
Calling them out is just, like you were saying, that's your pride in the way. You're just a shitty fucking boss at that point, too.
Yeah.
You should know they already feel shitty about it.
Well, and you'll know you have some work to do with your team if you discuss a problem and somebody on your team's like, well, I blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Well, I blah, blah. Like, okay.
We talk about red flags. That's flag number one.
That's a guy who cares more about how he's viewed amongst the team than about the overall progress of the team. He claims he wants progress, but so long as it doesn't put a magnifying glass on his faults.
Yeah.
Right. And that's not what you want in the team. You know, when you have a problem on your team, you want everybody to set their pride aside and you want to be able to clearly identify the problem. A clearly identified problem is half solved. Half of the work in solving a problem is even understanding how did this happen in the first place without emotions involved. Right.
Yeah.
And so, As you brought up just in passing before the show, another big reason people have problems is because they're procrastinating on clearly identifying the problem.
Yeah,
right?
They know they have a problem. And what I was thinking is, you know you have a problem and you put that thing off and you put that thing off because you don't want to deal with it. Well, that problem now is five problems.
Yes.
You know what I mean? It's six problems. It's seven problems. It's 6 months of one problem.
Yeah.
That being lazy and procrastinating, getting ahead of an issue in your business is one of the number one killers.
Yeah. There's a quote that I love. It gets thrown around in business and entrepreneur circles all the time. And that quote is, and I don't know who says it, but that quote is, the results you want are on the other side of the work you're avoiding.
Yeah.
And that's the procrastination thing.
That's
right?
100%.
The results I want is the solution to this problem. The work I'm avoiding is solving the problem.
Yeah.
And how do I solve the problem? Well, for one, I got to clearly identify it. I got to remove my pride, right? And I got to talk about how we solve the problem. Now, if you're a solopreneur, we is you.
Yeah. You fucked that up.
Yeah.
You got to figure it out.
Right. And it's always funny. There's like this humbling moment when a guy leaves a team of people and now he's on his own. Ain't nobody else to blame problems on now.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
So in other words, let's say you have a sales guy on a team and he doesn't convert half of his calls. He doesn't make sales on half of his calls.
Yeah.
When he's on the team, that gives him the privilege to say, well, so-and-so didn't do this right, and so the lead wasn't set up properly. So-and-so didn't make sure both spouses were going to be home so they could make a decision. So-and-so chose a financing company that can't get everybody approved, so that's why I didn't make the sale.
Yeah.
Like, all of that, right?
All the excuses.
So the moment you step out onto your own, well, now you're so-and-so.
Yeah.
And so, like, hey, wait a minute. Now when you don't convert half your jobs,
yeah,
it's all on you.
Yeah. And that's a make or break moment for people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they will either go one of two paths, figure it out, realize it's them, be better, or continue to blame society, the economy, pricing from vendors,
yeah,
whatever, and they'll crash and burn.
Like, well, a lot of it happens that, like, so where those guys end up most of the time.
Usually back at work.
Yes. Usually back at work. And what's funny is when you say, like, didn't you own a company for a while? Yeah, but, you know, people don't want to pay you and taxes and insurance. It just got too much to manage.
Yeah.
And
red flag number two. Ba-ding.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It, instead of saying, like in other words, they're explaining it like the taxes were the problem, not the fact that they didn't set enough aside for taxes. They're explaining it like the vendors that didn't pay them were the problem and not like I didn't have a process to ensure I get paid. Right?
Yeah.
And so they're trying to shove the accountability off. And so that's a guy who will blame society for why his business didn't work out. Instead of saying, I thought I would be good at business and I wasn't. I'm a better employee than I am a business owner.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Right?
Yeah. Man, when those guys come to your business, we've talked about that a lot. Those guys are rock stars.
Yeah.
Because they know that they couldn't do it.
Yep.
And they know the opportunity they have in front of them. And they're like, I'm taking this one.
Yeah. There are two former business owners that I will ever hire. One is a successful business owner that exited on his terms. We're not going to say he sold a business. We're not going to, like, maybe his exit on his terms was just dissolving the business in a healthy dissolve, right?
Yeah.
It was too much stress. I didn't like all the time and effort and energy. I realized I'm not as good of a leader of people as I thought I was. I realized I don't have a good picker when it comes to, like, vendors and accountants and contractors. And so I just folded it up and I'm a better employee. Like, I'll hire that guy.
Yeah.
Or I'll hire the guy that successfully figured out business and left. And, like again, left on his terms, but he successfully sold and doesn't want that stress again.
Yeah.
Right?
It can be a lot of stress. And we've talked about this 100 times on the show. Some people handle stress very well.
Yeah.
Some people, it literally eats a hole in their stomach and it's called an ulcer and they can't do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean they're bad at their job.
Right.
They just aren't built for that.
Right. Right. The nonetheless, both of those people that we just described as, like, former business owners that you would hire, they clearly understand the problem, right?
Yeah.
And they remove their pride from being part of the solution. Like, if you're a one-man show and your business goes under and you're blaming other people for your business going under, that's a huge red flag.
Number three. Ba-ding.
Yeah, because it's not the tax man. It's not the IRS. It's not the bad accountant. It's not the non-paying contractor. It's you.
Yeah.
You agreed to do work for the bad contractor. You didn't set aside enough money for taxes. You chose the bad accountant. Like, it's all on you.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the more you can take ownership of that problem, the better. You know, Jocko Willink has a book called Extreme Ownership.
Who?
Jocko Willink.
I don't know who that is.
He's a former Navy SEAL. Pretty badass motherfucker.
Badass dude. Like a Goggins style dude.
Yes. Yeah. He and Goggins are kind of in the same circles. But he realized that like taking extreme ownership of it, like he goes so far as to say that if you like, it's your fault that if you get T-boned in an intersection because somebody ran a red light. And what he's like, he's not saying the other person's not at fault.
No, but you didn't look both ways.
You didn't look both ways. Yeah. You chose to leave your house at that minute. So you were in that cycle of lights where that guy was going to run the light anyway. So it's you were the reason you were at that intersection at that time.
Yeah.
And so to be able to take that level of ownership for literally everything that happens to you. Is key.
That's an insane point of view.
It's extreme.
It's insane.
Hence the book, Extreme Ownership.
Yeah.
However,
I don't want to argue about it, but I do. I like arguing a little bit. Mm-hmm. Like fate sometimes, you know. Like
yeah.
Sometimes you leave the house because you didn't. You had to leave late.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's a point at which point it becomes completely insane.
Well, what he's getting at is if you're willing to take ownership to that level.
Yeah, all the stuff that you can actually control will be in line.
Yes.
I get it.
Yeah. And if you're willing to, so the other thing about taking ownership of problems to that level is you have no problems diving into whatever the cause of the problem is. If it's you, it's you.
Yeah.
If it's somebody else, it's somebody else. And that's not a moment to celebrate. Like if anything, problems caused by me are easier to solve than problems caused by somebody else. Because I can fix me.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's hard to fix somebody else.
Yeah.
Right? But being able to remove your pride that far and to take that level of ownership to problems is massive when it comes to solving problems.
Yeah.
Right? And so, prime example, this weekend, we were at a friend's birthday party. And they have this...
A friend or acquaintance?
Friend.
Okay.
Our old neighbors.
Oh, someone you know well.
Yeah. Yeah. The ones that moved an hour away.
Yeah.
And they have this upright piano in their living room.
Nice.
And they wanted it moved to the basement.
Whew.
And so here's all these...
Is it brass or wood bus?
It's... it was heavy.
Probably brass bus.
Here's all these guys. You know, they were having a birthday party for their two-year-old. And so here's all these dads...
Doing nothing.
That are like...
Drinking beer.
Hey, while we have all these guys here, like, can we get this piano moved? Sure, right? And so...
I love where this is going.
Well, there's four of us trying to move an upright piano down the stairs. And when you get an object that's
wouldn't
that...
Wouldn't I walk out?
No.
Oh, brutal.
When you get an object that's that heavy...
Yeah.
And that top heavy...
On an angle.
On an angle, that's tough, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how strong you are, that's a feat. And so all these guys were willing to chip in and do whatever they could. There's one guy that I think he's had some medical problems in the past... Because somebody referred, like, we need some guys with muscle, and everyone was like, well, he's out. And it wasn't a dig on the guy for being scrawny. Like, he is insanely scrawny, but I don't think it's...
Like, he has muscular dystrophy or something.
Right.
Yeah.
But he was like, well, I think if we take this... Like, he was still helping any way he could, right?
Yeah.
And then one of the grandpas that has no business trying to carry that much weight... was trying to help as much as he could.
Let me show you lads how this is done.
And not trying to pat myself on the back at all, but like I was probably the most muscular of all of the guys there. And so like I put myself on the heaviest corner on the downhill side, right?
Yeah.
And really like one of the other guys started on the heaviest corner. Like I started on the lightest corner on the downhill side and we got two steps down and you could see the other guy struggling. And I said, guys, let's stop for a second. This ain't going to work out. Like we need to trade. And nobody had pride. Nobody was like, yeah, I'm a pussy. You get in there. Like, it was just like,
I would have. I'd have been like, I ain't got it.
Yeah.
Like, fucking switch me, dog.
And so we switched.
I don't want to die under this piano.
Yeah. And we switched. And even then, it was still a whole lot of weight coming down on me.
Pianos are brutal.
One of the grandpas is standing behind, like, telling us how many steps we got left and all of that stuff. Because you can't turn around and look. Like, it's everything you got to hold this piano up. And so then he starts putting his hands on my back. Because... like I'm being pushed down the stairs.
Yeah.
And he was like, is this helping or hurting? I'm like, no, that's actually giving me a lot of confidence. Thank you. And so he put his hands on my back the whole way down the stairs. And like, that is a group of guys that has no pride. We don't even know each other all that well.
No, and probably no foresight, because eventually that piano's got to come out of that basement.
Well, yeah, but I mean they're gonna live there for many years, but they'll have a moving company move it the next
probably,
time, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but it's one of those things where it's like no pride, no nothing. Hey, you look pretty strong. You should take the part that's going to take the most strength. Hey, you look pretty smart. You should help come up with a plan. Hey, you look old. So we want to keep you from blowing your back out, but like you can open doors and help
people that are listening
orchestrate.
The look that was on Mitch's face got me. It was
old.
Old.
Yeah. But like, you know, that is how teams should solve problems. The problem with teams is emotions get in the way. And
well, people, emotions as in pride.
Yes.
Like we can put all of that into the pride category.
Yeah.
The real, it's not an issue, but the reason pride comes up a lot is because people have pride in good ways, as in I'm proud of the way I do my job.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good at my job. I have pride because I want to be the best.
Yeah.
The problem is turning the switch.
Well,
when to notice,
go ahead,
how to turn the pride switch off,
mm-hmm,
and when to embrace it and use it as motivation to be good at what you do.
Yeah.
That's really the problem. I want to be, to the male-female conversation, like, I want to be stronger than Mitch. Like, that's just a natural testosterone-fueled
yeah,
male thing.
Yeah.
If we're, especially when you're younger, if we go out in the street, I want to fuck that dude up.
Yeah.
Like, that's just, that's in your DNA.
Yeah.
It's hard to overcome that. Women don't do that.
Right.
Like, they want to work as a team.
Well,
like, and I think that's why
so
they
keep
do.
Going.
I know what you're going to say. I'll let you say what you're going to say. But, like, in order to be a good leader, you need to be able to recognize that in your team and yourself and be able to help navigate those situations as in, I'm going to teach the guys how to turn that pride switch off.
Yeah.
By doing that, I'm going to be an example of how to turn my pride switch off first.
Yeah.
Like, that's how you really come together as a team.
Yep.
When it comes to emotions, pride, getting problems solved.
Yeah. Women view that a little bit different. Like, men will get into a group of guys, and if you're an extreme introvert, this probably doesn't happen either way, but men will get into a group of guys, and you're immediately trying to identify
you
everyone's
size everyone up immediately.
Well, you're not sizing them up as if they're competition. You're sizing them up as how they can contribute, right?
Well, like, you may be different in that.
Like well, you, so there is a competitive side too.
So the very first thing I always do is size up everyone, and then after that, it's yes. What is this person's strength? What is this person's weakness? Where do
yeah,
I fall in line in all of those categories? You're right.
Yeah.
But the first thing is, you're trying to understand where everybody's at and what's going on.
Yeah. Whereas it seems like, and I may get crushed for this, and I don't care. It seems like women, when
no
they
shit,
meet, like
you
put five women that have never met each other in a group.
Oh, they're catty as fuck.
They're judgy as hell. Yeah. Like
oh, yeah.
They start out by like not liking this person for who they are because their hair is better than mine.
Yeah, or, women have some serious self-esteem issues.
Or they don't like you for who you are as a person because I think your body shape looks more attractive than my body shape. So fuck you.
Yeah.
Like
yeah. 100% agree.
I don't want to say most, but an alarming number of strong female relationships started out where they hated each other at first and they thought each other was the biggest bitch ever. And then for some reason, they were forced to tough it out and stick through it, and they realize, oh, you weren't really a bitch.
Yeah. Women, like,
we
you
share
talk
a lot
about,
of the same insecurities.
You want to talk about guys being dick measures? Women are way worse.
Yeah.
I mean, it's bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's bad. Which is funny because most of them, oh, man, I'm not sure if I should say this or not. Most of them are at the position they are in life because of the man that they're with, and they've done nothing. Yet they judge each other based off of where they're at. Does that make sense?
Yes, definitely. You're like stereotypical housewives,
yeah,
stuff like that for sure.
Yeah, and
right?
It's like, dude, suburbia is a nightmare.
And to clarify what you're saying, that's not saying that a woman is only where she is because of a man. What that's saying is half of where you are is because of your spouse. And so pick your spouse wisely.
Well, and the ones that are bad about it, it is because of that. But the ones that aren't bad about it, don't do that.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does. Makes perfect sense. I just don't want the listeners
We're
not bashing on women.
I didn't
saying,
mean that as a generic term. I meant those that do that and compare themselves to each other like that, on The Real Housewives of LA or whatever like that. They're doing it with having no accomplishments at all.
Yeah.
It's like, what the fuck are you even talking about?
Well, in any reality TV show that features groups of women, they're always catty and fighting over bullshit stuff.
Yeah.
They don't like the way somebody said something. They don't like this or they don't like that. And they just want to argue about it, right?
And they're mostly, like, let's be honest, they're mostly housewives that don't contribute to, I don't mean in the home, I mean society in general.
Yeah.
Like, they're, you know what I mean?
That's like the whole liberal white women thing.
Yeah. They got housekeepers. They got babysitters. They've never held a real job.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Yeah.
The people that listen to this show are like, yeah, you're right. And none of us are like that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. Right. The what leads into procrastinating to solve the problem is usually fear. But before we get into fear, I want to clarify something whenever it comes to pride. Being proud of what you do is different than letting your pride get in the way of progress.
Yeah.
So you can be proud that you made a great week's worth of sales. You can be proud that you contributed to the company moving forward this week or this month. But your pride can still get in the way of you doing even better next month. And so understanding the difference from being proud and being too prideful is, or letting your pride get in the way is key to solving problems.
You've really got to have self-awareness.
Yeah. Yeah. So like take Mahomes or any other high-level QB.
He's sucking ass.
Yeah, he is.
God, he's horrible.
But you take any other high-level QB, they are proud of how much work they put in. They're proud of the reps. They're proud of the practice. They're proud of the preparation.
Yeah, because that's the hard part.
But they don't let their pride get in the way whenever their coach comes over to them and says, dude, you're having visibility issues. You missed these guys over here that were wide open.
Yeah. What are you doing,
dog? You got to get your scanning better, right? He's not too proud to not take that advice.
Yeah.
If anything, he lets the fact that he's proud of his preparation help him take that advice and remove his pride from preventing him from taking that advice.
Yeah.
So same in business, right? You can have a couple of weeks of awesome sales and then you have a bad week of sales. And if you let your pride get in the way, you're gonna throw all the blame on everybody else. But if you stay proud of why you had those sales in the previous weeks, then you're going to be able to examine and say, well, I could have done this different. I could have done that different. I could have approached this customer different. I forgot to ask this question.
Yeah.
I missed this step. I didn't build their trust or whatever the case may be. And that is key in progress anywhere. One of the biggest things that it takes to clearly identify problems is we have to understand that a lot of the problems we have them because we're afraid of them. And in other words, let's say I don't know very much about tankless water heaters. And so the boss sends me to a tankless water heater. I'm too proud to admit that I'm afraid to work on tankless water. Like, why am I afraid? Because of lack of knowledge. But I'm too proud to admit that.
Or too proud to learn.
Yeah.
I don't need to learn about that. I'm a plumber of 20 years.
And so then I try to go fix this water heater, and we do like that whole technician false hope thing where we turn it off, turn it back on, we tweak it a little bit, and now it's working right. And we convince ourselves we fixed it when we actually didn't do shit.
Yeah.
Right? So then we leave that job, and we're like, ha-ha, I'm good. Well, then the customer calls back in hours or days later saying it's not working again, and now your boss is like, bro, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And now, again, you go right back to being too prideful to admit that you didn't actually do anything, and you start making excuses and all of this stuff, right?
It's funny, too, when people start doing that, it will eat at them. They know that they're supposed to own up to it and just say, but then they get to a point where they feel like they've gone too far or I've dug in too deep.
Yep.
And they'll just deny it forever.
Yeah.
And they'll always go about it that way. And it's like, dude, just admit that you were wrong and you fucked up. It's very freeing and it gives you a clean slate to start that call over.
Yeah.
Because then you go in there with the mindset of, I fucked this up the first time. I need to figure out what the hell's going on this time.
Yeah, there's a situation I remember very clearly. I had a manager that was not a very good manager. They were a manager that was fearful of other people taking their job instead of a manager that realized, if I can teach you well enough to take my job, then there's better opportunities for me available, right?
Yeah.
And so this was the fearful manager, but he was still my manager. And I was on this new construction commercial plumbing crew, and we were working in a factory that makes bearings for rail car wheels.
Oh, shit.
Okay? That's big, all they do.
Big time manufacturing, though.
That's all they do, is they just make big-ass bearings for rail car wheels. And they needed a lot of gas in their building, and the building had an original 2-inch low-pressure gas line.
Oh,
and we were redoing the gas, and they were flipping it to a high pressure gas line with regulators on every fixture.
Oh, on every fixture. Yeah. Nice.
And so they had a big 2-inch branch going all the way across the ceiling of the whole thing, and we had to like go to the end of it. Most of the gas was at the end of it. We had to like cut off the end, thread it, and then split it out to all the fixtures. Well, my boss told me, while we're doing all this work, before all the machinery's in here and all the equipment's in here, and you have access to the lift and free reign, he said, I want you to take apart every connection on that 2-inch pipe, and I want you to replace the thread protectors with legitimate couplings. And I didn't do it. And I thought, that pipe's been up there for years. It ain't leaking. We're good. I'm just going to ignore what he said there, and I'm going to do everything else. And then at the end, I'm going to be like, look how fast I got done, and he's going to love it that I got this job done so fast.
Did every one of them leak?
Fucking leaked.
Yeah, you dumbass.
And he looked me right in the face, and he said, I thought I told you to disassemble all those thread protectors and replace them with couplings.
Yeah,
dumbass. You didn't do it, did you? And he like made me vocalize out loud, no, I didn't do it.
Yeah.
And he should have, right? Yeah. He's the right thing. As much as I didn't like the guy as a manager, it's a very humbling moment, right? There's nobody else. I was literally working by myself.
Dude, turning 2-inch pipes.
Whew. Well, it's already in hangers. It's already in teardrops.
Yeah, but still.
It's just wrenches, you know, and free reign. Like, you got the radio.
That's why your shoulders fucking hurt. Job.
Yeah, plumbing killed my shoulders for sure.
That fucking one job.
But.
So did you have to break it all down and redo it?
Yeah. Ooh. But only now everything else was piped.
Yeah.
So now breaking it down meant a whole fuck ton of problems, right? So
it's only funny because it's not me.
Right. I mean, it was a big problem to do all that. And so like that's one of the challenges, right? But I didn't immediately come up with excuses. I didn't be like, well, it wouldn't come apart, and so I didn't mess with it. Or like I was like, yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Like
I'm a shithead.
I tried getting out of some work and it didn't work. Right. And now I have a lot more work to do.
That sucks.
So,
dude.
And at that time they were like trying to find ways to pay performance bonuses and all of that kind of stuff. and they were trying to like come up and say like, okay, we bid this job to take, you know, 500 hours.
Yeah.
And for every so many hours it comes in under, you guys all get like a dollar per hour bonus and all of this stuff.
Brutal.
Yeah.
Double and fucking whammy.
And they didn't have it going yet. But
you instantly saw though, like I just shit away $350.
Right. My boss immediately said, like, as we're trying to figure out this performance bonus for you guys being efficient, what do you think this just did to it?
Yeah.
Because it would have taken you 2 hours to do it right, and now it's going to take you 8 hours to fix it.
Yeah.
Like
the company made money, but you didn't make any extra.
Yeah.
So sorry.
Yeah. You just cost the company 6 extra hours.
Ooh.
Right. So being understanding of that is key. Before we dive farther into fear, a quick message from one of our sponsors, Field Pulse, which, by the way,
I think you mean our only sponsor. That's not true.
We have several.
We have Empower. I do love
and we have Tradewinds.
I do love Brady.
Yeah.
Tradewinds doesn't sponsor the show.
Sure they do. They get a commercial in every show. They're our lowest paying sponsor.
I do love Brady and Empower.
To talk to the money guy at Tradewinds and
try
to negotiate that deal a little better.
I'll tell you right now, you ain't getting shit.
So, Field Pulse is the field service management software for field service pros like you. Whether you're a small business looking to grow or a larger company ready to scale, it has everything you need all in one platform. Field Pulse has advanced features for your CRM, your customer relationship management system. It'll handle your estimates and invoices. It'll handle your scheduling and dispatching. It'll let you do good, better, best proposals. It'll run your maintenance plans and your price book, and it will run the Tradewinds price book as well. Plus, Field Pulse integrates with the software you're currently using, like QuickBooks Online and your desktop PC, so you can hit the ground running without changing everything about how you do the day-to-day work. And by simplifying those day-to-day operations, Field Pulse saves you time, keeps your team organized, and gives you the tools to increase productivity and profitability. And it's not just David and I saying this. Field Pulse has earned an average 4.8-star rating across over 600 Google reviews. To learn more, head over to fieldpulse.com. That's FIELDPULSE.com. I
wonder when I'm going to get my free swag from Field Pulse.
I do want to give Brady a massive shout out as well. During our podcast, you guys hear a commercial from a guy that talks about credit card processing.
Empower Payments.
And Brady, who owns that company, is a friend of mine. We go to the lake every year together. And he is a wonderful businessman, and he's a great human in general.
Yeah, he's a good dude.
He's just a good dude.
Yeah, when we say good dude, he's one of the top.
Like, he's one of the good ones,
love
right?
Brady.
And he'll be the guy that dies young, because only the good die young, right? Like, he's...
Dude, why would you jinx him
I'm
like
not,
that?
I'm what not wishing that on him, but he's that good of a dude.
Yeah, he is a good dude.
So there was a massive cloud-based thing that went down. It wasn't AWS. It was a competitor to AWS's servers.
Oh, they have
went
a server
down.
Farm go down or something?
A massive one. This server farm ran 50% of the websites in America and all of this stuff. Well, it happened to run Empower Payments.
Who in the fuck take
before
50%?
Before we opened, and well, let me just look it up.
Was I'm, this I'm when you find, were having issues with Was this right after the AWS issue? It's amazing the AWS issue got so much news coverage, and what you're talking about I've never even heard of.
So at 8:45 a.m., we have not run a credit card yet. Hey, buddy, FYI, Swipe Simple, which is what Empower Payments operates off of, is down this morning because of Cloudflare. Cloudflare is that server farm.
Okay.
It's the world's largest hosting provider and it is down, and that's who Swipe Simple uses. They're a global company, so we know they're busting their butts to get it up and running, but it affects half of the websites that exist online.
Whew.
So he's texting me personally.
Oh, as far as...
At 8:45 in the morning, before we even ran a credit card to realize our credit card running ability is down right now,
brutal.
He's texting me at 8:45 in the morning.
Okay.
So I can then message the team and let the guys know, hey, credit card processing may be hit or miss. We want to try to collect checks, but if we can't, then we need to be emailing the office so that the office can reach back out and collect once the system's running.
Yeah.
Right? That's how cool Brady is with his stuff, with
he's
Empower Payments. So if you guys are looking for credit card, Brady didn't. Like, this is totally me on my own accord.
No, it's because I misspoke and said we only had one sponsor.
Yeah, well, that too. But yeah. Like, if you're tired of your credit card processor looking for ways to get more money from you all the time, so much so that you're considering passing those fees on to the customer, which is a business suicide, by the way. Don't ever do that. check out Swipe Simple with Empower Payments.
Yeah, Empower Payments.
There's a link to them in the description of the show. Those guys are badass, and I use them. I've used them in so Brady
You've used
used
them
to,
for at least 3 years, haven't you?
Well, so Brady used to be vice president of another credit card processing company, and then when he retired from there, he waited for his non-compete to expire before he started Empower Payments.
Yeah.
And I've been using Brady in one form or another for my credit card processing ever since we opened. I pay on average between like 1.9 and 2.3% on credit card processing.
Yeah.
It's insanely cheap. Whereas most other places are 3.5%, 4.5% and all that stuff. So if you guys are looking for cheaper ways to process credit cards, hit the link in the description of this show and sign up with Empower Payments. You won't regret it.
Or at least just have a call with them if you're thinking about it.
And here's one of the really cool things about how they operate. A lot of credit card processors take their fee out of every transaction, so it makes your bookkeeping a freaking nightmare. Because if they're taking 3% and you run $100 through, you got $97 deposited in your bank. Meanwhile, your bookkeeping software is looking for a $100 payment.
Yeah.
And so it creates a bookkeeping nightmare. Whereas how Empower Payments does it is they collect, they keep tabs of all those fees, and then they electronically pull that their monthly fee
one time
out of your bank account every month, and so it makes bookkeeping a breeze. It also makes it very simple for you to see exactly how much you're paying for credit card processing every month, because you see it plain as day. And I'm able to take total money ran through credit cards minus that one fee every month, and I get a true percentage that I'm paying on credit cards.
Yeah,
it's kind of like APR versus APY on a loan.
We're not going to get off track.
Getting a true percentage.
Yes, getting a true percentage.
So check those guys out. Okay, so last topic on solving problems is fear. Fear is something that's made up in your head because of the unknown. Okay? In other words, I have an irrational fear of spiders.
Yes, you okay? I didn't know this is where this is going, but yes, you do. It's insane.
It is insane.
Yes.
My fear of spiders. But what's funny is I learned a long time ago, 3 years ago, was the first time somebody told me the only way to get over fear is to study the fuck out of whatever you're afraid of. It was actually David Goggins said that. I was watching him speak in Texas, and somebody said, "You seem to be fearless." And I don't know if that's a thing you put off or if you're actually fearless, but can you explain to everybody how you handle fear? And he goes, "I'm not fearless. I'm afraid of shit just like everybody. But I learned a long time ago that if you're afraid of something, it's because you don't understand it very well. And so it's your lack of knowledge is what creates the fear. So study the fuck out of it." That was his exact words.
Hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, if this is true, well, I'm going to put it to the biggest test ever. I have an irrational fear of spiders. So let's study the fuck out of them, right? Ever since then, which is kind of hard to study the fuck out of spiders whenever you're fearful of them. Because it used to
it's
be like
the internet, but yes.
I would get the heebie-jeebies looking at a picture of a spider. I was so afraid of them, right? But now I start looking around and I'm like, okay, well, these spiders aren't even venomous. So if they bite you, it's going to be like a freaking mosquito bite. And it's funny because I'm allergic to mosquitoes.
What?
Yeah.
We're getting a real fucking deep inside into
this. It is.
How are you allergic to mosquitoes? What does that even mean?
If I get a mosquito bite, it looks like I got stung by a bee or a wasp.
Oh, you're just saying you don't.
I lump up big time.
Swell up and your throat swell. If you were allergic to bees.
Before Danielle and I got married, she knew I was allergic to mosquitoes. I was doing side work.
Dude, I have so many fucking questions.
Yeah. I was doing side work outside in this guy's yard in the middle of the hot summer, and he had mosquitoes all over his yard. And I'm trying to do this work, and I'm running out of light, and I'm running out of material, and I'm getting frustrated, and Danielle's there helping me in whatever way she can. And I get a mosquito on my head, and it bites me.
Are you not wearing off?
Nope. And my forehead lumps up like a goddamn golf ball. Like, like somebody cut a golf ball in half and shoved it under my skin. And she broke the tension by saying, like, look, you can be mad all you want, but you just look really silly with that big lump on your head being mad.
You look like a jackass.
Yeah. But so anyway, like, as I'm studying spiders to, like, if what David Goggins says is true, well, then I should be able to kill my fear of spiders by studying them. It fucking works.
You're still scared of spiders, aren't you?
I'm still, there is still
a... If a spider crawls across this desk right now, are you losing your shit?
No, I'm probably not losing my shit, but there is still an instinctual reaction that is hard to break. But the whole, like, consuming my body fear...
For it running you rampant for 10 minutes is over.
Yeah.
Like, it's the initial 30 seconds is the same, but then after that, you're like, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, I was cleaning out the garage the other day, and I found a brown recluse nest in my garage.
Dude, they're, first off, everyone has them. They're everywhere.
Yes.
I've been bit twice.
Yeah. And
I had to go to the hospital the first time.
And I'm, yeah, I remember that. It was on your knee. You kneeled down. It bit you while you were working on an AC. I remember that.
Yeah. I was.
You got sick, too.
I was in the hospital for 3 hours.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, though. So, after that, my body was more, quote unquote, used to it. The second one I bit. Got bit, yeah. No big deal. But yeah, it fucked me up.
Yeah, when I saw these brown, like, initially I'm like, ah! Like, that knee-jerk reaction, but then...
Where's the lighter fluid, bitch?
Before it used to be one of the things where...
You'd leave the house for
2 hours.
I would
say, like Danielle had to come take care of it. And, hey, I don't have too much pride to admit, right?
I know, and it I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at the fact that I am laughing at you, but that I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've known you better than maybe anyone else on the planet.
Yeah.
Or thought I did.
Yep. And so.
Learned something new today.
But this time I see him in the garage and I'm like, wow, that's interesting. And I was like sweeping out some cobwebs and stuff from behind. I was
everywhere.
Moving some stuff around.
Cardboard. They love cardboard.
Well, I just grabbed the whole nest with my hand and swept it off and rubbed my hands together to kill whatever was in my hand and just got rid of the nest. And didn't even think anything of it. And it's because I've started realizing, like, okay, the odds of getting bit, how many of them are actually poisonous.
Even if I get bit, I'm not going to die.
Well, and like, how many times have spiders been within inches or on me and I just didn't even know it? Like,
yeah,
you know, all those kinds of things. It's no, like, the community Facebook pages where the old ladies are like, watch out, I saw a fox at 5th and Mach today.
Yeah.
Protect your pets. And it's like, ladies, or anybody that's reacting to that, that fox has lived there for years.
Yeah.
Your pets have been, they're not in more danger today just because somebody saw the fox.
No. It's 100% correct. Janine is the same way with fucking snakes. She's scared to death of snakes.
Yeah.
Dude, we had a 6-foot, when we moved into our house, we had a 6-foot black snake in the garage.
Yep.
Layla comes out and goes, Dad, there's a snake in the garage. I think we should kill it. I was like, what? Go
not
up there.
A black snake, especially.
Yeah. Well, it's in the garage. I can't get it out.
Yeah.
So I did end up killing it. Layla walks over, grabs it by the tail, holds it up. I take a picture, send it to Janine. She freaks the fuck out.
Yeah.
I'm like, babe, it's just a black. It's just, it's dead.
It's dead
I
for one.
I killed it.
Yeah.
That thing was in my house, man. Yeah. I mean, just madder than hell.
Yeah.
Two weeks she was looking for snakes. I'm like,
I ever tell you the
gone.
Story that, so like Danielle had to run the boys off to some practice and I came home from work late and I come home. And
is this your other house or this one?
This one. There's a bucket flipped upside down on my kitchen counter, and there's a note next to the bucket. And it says, don't worry, the snake under this bucket is non-poisonous.
What the fuck?
We'll handle it when I get home.
So Danielle makes this note?
Makes the note, like, we don't mind snakes at all in our house. But... what she was doing was letting, like, apparently one of the kids brought her a snake and she didn't, like.
She just put the bucket on it and was like, we got to
go. Yeah, we got to go.
I'll deal with this later.
Right? But, like.
That's fantastic.
That, like.
Why is it on the counter? You couldn't put it on the floor?
Know,
like,
right?
That's just weird. Yes. Like, just put it on the floor.
It's just a garter snake. But.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, like. That's how irrational the fear of spiders is. Is like, I see that note and I'm like, cool. And I lift the bucket to see what's underneath there and set it back down and. Danielle's got a plan. I don't want to mess with it, so I'm just going to let her do her thing.
You throw,
you know,
a little paper and you slide him over. You dump, you know.
Yeah.
Take his ass out of there.
But so
fear,
so understanding what you're afraid of. Like, if you're a technician and you're afraid of tankless water heaters because they're big and complex and they plug in and they got a lot of wires and switches and stuff. The only way you're going to kill your fear of working on tanklesses is to study tanklesses. Watch some YouTube videos about how to work on them.
Yeah.
And not just Joe Blow plumber working on them. Like, watch manufacturers' YouTube videos. Like, yeah. Learn from the right people.
Yeah.
Right? But if you're afraid to talk to a girl, Jacob Stoller, he posted the other day about fear of rejection. It wasn't
Jacob Stoller.
Yeah, he spoke at our event in Vegas. He's the guy with Asperger's.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, my TRT guy.
I could not visualize. Yeah. Got it. I got it. Go ahead.
If you guys need TRT, he's my guy. and he does not have any like referral bonuses or anything. I really like his approach. No needles. Makes it easy. So
Mitch also has an irrational fear of needles.
No, I don't have
it. Which is funny because he takes TRT and then has to give blood.
Yeah, no, I don't have a fear of needles.
Yes, you do. I've seen you pass out.
I used to. That all... You didn't... we'll talk about that in a second. Oh, that's a funny story, actually.
Okay.
That one might have been chemical, actually. So, but we'll get into that in a second. But he posted the other day, he was talking about fear of rejection. And he was like, the fear of rejection is something that's made up in your head, right? And basically it was like, let's say you're a single guy and you want to ask a girl out. You don't have plans for Friday night. What's the worst that can happen? She says no, and guess what? You still don't have plans.
Yeah.
Nothing changed.
Mitch is the king. He is not afraid of rejection.
No.
No.
No. Not afraid to ask.
I'm also not.
Yeah. But, you know, that's one of those things that's kind of like made up in your head. Is like fear of rejection.
Yeah, like
right?
people think that it's going to lead to some sort of catastrophe in your life if you get rejected.
Yeah.
Well, now I'll never be able to talk to another girl. Why? They don't all talk to each other.
Right.
They don't all know each other. They don't get together and scheme that you're a greaseball.
Right.
Like, it's just, we, and I think we've talked about being in your comfort zone a lot, right, through the last 3 years.
Yep.
I think that is what creates irrational fear. Because if you're afraid to do something, it keeps you in your comfort zone.
Yes.
And people don't want to get out of their comfort zone naturally.
Yeah.
But that fear is because of that. Those irrational fears are because you're afraid to be pushed outside of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And so you build that fear up in your brain until it's so big that you will no longer even think about doing something.
Yeah.
Whatever that something is.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's crazy to me.
And it's like, it's perfectly okay to be afraid of shit, right? Some people are afraid of electricity. They don't understand it.
Well, fear is our most primal instinct and has kept us alive. That's why it's so natural.
Fear and hope are the two most powerful emotions in existence.
Some hopium.
And yeah.
Quote Travis.
And so that's why we're talking about fear. And like, let's just say you don't know anything about electrical and you have an electrical problem and you could DIY it, but you're afraid of electrical. Well, then it's just a cost benefit analysis. Like, am I okay being afraid of electrical? Is it less costly than I'm afraid of being of electrical?
Yeah.
So like Joe Blow, the homeowner that's afraid of electrical, he'll pay a technician to replace an outlet or a switch, right? Yeah. Because it's not worth the time it would take to study electricity enough for him to remove his fear when his time's worth money. And for $150, he could pay an electrician to replace the outlet.
Yeah.
Right. And so like we do this all the time. I'm afraid of taking apart a transmission. It's one of the only things in a car that I will pay somebody else to do.
Agree.
Okay.
100%.
So like I will rebuild an engine. I mean, all the way down to the freaking rod bearings, the crank, and everything.
Yeah, and like full transparency, automatic transmission.
Automatic, yes.
So a 4-speed, I'll crack that dude open any day of the week.
Yeah.
But a freaking automatic, you're right. I'm out.
And it's not worth, like, you look at the amount of time it takes to pull the transmission and rebuild it yourself and put it back in, and then I let the fear of, like, I let my lack of knowledge of automatic transmissions drive that fear, so I will pay somebody for the new transmission.
Yeah.
And yes, I could save fuck tons of money if I did it myself, but that's a fear I'm okay having.
Yeah.
Right? Some people are afraid of heights, and they're okay having that fear because that means they're going to pay somebody else to put the roof on, or their gutter guards, or the Christmas lights.
Yeah.
Right? So it's perfectly okay to recognize those kinds of things, but when we understand, like when it's a thing that's standing in a way of our productivity, we got to recognize it and figure out how to a way to get over it.
Yeah, and what you're saying is, like, we all have fears, okay? It's seeing those fears and then trying to decide which of those fears I'm going to overcome.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? There's always going to be certain things that we won't take on.
Yeah.
Or won't learn or won't do. That's okay. The problem is when you're afraid of so much stuff that you refuse to, you just become stagnant and you refuse to grow.
Yep.
And you refuse to overcome some of them. That's when it's a problem.
Yep.
That's when the fear has basically taken over your life.
Yeah.
And everything that you're afraid of holds you back.
Yeah.
If there's some things that you just don't want to deal with, that's fine. But don't let every freaking little thing that comes in the way hold you back. You will be miserable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Miserable.
So to wrap this up.
Or broke. Like everyone, I can't afford to pay grocery. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, stop.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother conversation.
The whole Starbucks,
for a whole nother day.
The whole Starbucks employees thing, the unionized locations of Starbucks. They're like striking to get better pay and all this shit.
All I know is that they're striking to get better pay. I don't know anything else about it.
And I'm like, that's so silly. Like I get like labor unions at a highly skilled, dangerous trade. I like,
yeah, you can understand that.
I'm not anti-union at all. Like for those that don't know, my stance on the union is the union is like a real estate agent. I can try to sell my house myself, but now I have to figure out deeds and contracts and how to market my house and how to negotiate the best price and how to find the right buyer. Or I can pay a real estate agent a percentage of my way or a percentage of the sale and just know that all of that stuff is handled. So you transfer that to a union and I can choose to go into the union path and I'm giving up a percentage of my pay to fund the union, but I know that the union is bargaining for the best health care and the best wage and the best treatment and the best safety and all of those things. And so,
yeah,
like that's literally my stance on unions.
I'm not going to say what I think because
there's definitely corruption inside unions.
That's not what I mean.
Any governing body, there's going to be corruption.
I mean, we could talk about it for 45 minutes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's why I'm not
going to
open that can today.
But like, here's what I don't understand about like the Starbucks thing. We're talking baristas and I don't want to be demeaning. But I mean, come on, it's fucking coffee.
Dude, what I don't understand, what's fucked up is Starbucks has great benefits for their employees, especially when you compare them to other people that have non-skilled shit-ass fucking jobs like making and serving coffee.
Right.
Let's not pretend, like you were saying, that you're building transmissions for Ford and you have an actual skilled position. Either one of us could go into a Starbucks, learn the job, and be the manager in 30 fucking days.
Yeah.
It is a joke.
Yeah.
That they want to unionize so that they can get $25 an hour plus the benefits they're already getting.
Right.
Like, if you want to try that, that's fine. Anybody can come in and take your job.
Yeah.
Well, okay? Like, fucking anybody.
And so, like, this is kind of what spawned this whole thing of the talk of, like, how to solve a problem. Because you got to clearly understand the problem, and there are a lot of people that benefit from your solution or you picking their solution. Okay. You see this in politics all the time.
Oh shit. Here we go.
So like the same party that is trying to say the cost of coffee is going through the roof is this, and they're trying to say that's a problem of Trump.
Yeah, I mean,
right?
Yeah, okay.
The same party that's saying that is also the party that's promoting the unionization of Starbucks employees to pay them $25 an hour and badass benefits, thus driving up the cost of coffee. And so,
I know it's the same thing as you've got to let all illegal immigrants here that are now taking your jobs that you complain aren't there. There aren't enough jobs.
Yeah.
And then, you know what I mean? It's
right.
Like, stop.
And so, like, I'm not trying to go political. I'm just pointing out, like that party tries to say that this president's making the costs go up. But that party's also the first party that will tax the fuck out of you.
And make the costs go
up. For climate change or some other bullshit. Like, you can't. No amount of money can you throw at the earth and climate change goes away.
Dude, have you seen that? That Noah's Ark meme always makes me laugh. Do you think if Noah would have paid more in taxes, he wouldn't have had to build that big-ass ark?
Right. That's like, right.
That just makes me laugh.
Yeah, but like the same party that's trying to say, this leader's driving up your costs, their literal solution to any problem is add more taxes and drive up costs.
Yeah.
So, look through those, like, as you're identifying problems, this happens on all levels, but look through who's helping you solve problems and say, wait, if you really cared about rising costs, don't you think you would solve other problems without rising costs?
Yeah. Well, and the contradictory nature of the way that people handle problems to your political, that's in everything.
Yeah.
If your manager at work is constantly contradicting what he says, he's not looking out for your best interest or the business's best interest.
Yeah.
He just wants to be stuck in a cycle of I'm always right.
Yep.
That's what the contradictory statements are about.
Yeah.
So if you know somebody that's always contradicting themselves, red flag, be on the lookout.
Yeah.
Like it's what's crazy is like, it took me a long time to realize that.
Yep.
Once I did, I can see it in someone instantly.
Yes.
Like the first, you know, if you know someone for 3-4 days, it's like, okay.
Yep.
This is a problem. And this is something that they can't overcome. Or if they don't change their mindset, this is always going to be an issue for them and now for me.
Right.
So like now I'm old enough and far enough down the road that I just cut them loose. Like I don't, you know what I mean? There's no need for me to deal with them.
Right.
If I can't, you know, get them past that.
Right.
Per
right.
se.
I do want to finish this out on something. You were talking about my fear of needles.
Oh yeah, your fear of needles.
That actually wasn't a fear. That was a like a reaction to needles. And
well, it wasn't just needles. You would cut yourself barely and black out.
Yes. Now,
like you would get a, I've seen it happen.
Yeah.
Like, dude, what are you worried about? And you'd be over there, like, leaned against the wall, slashed down, like, half blacked out.
Yeah. I mean, Danielle and I were working in the garage in our old house before we even had kids. And she was holding something. I was tightening with a wrench, and the wrench slipped and busted her knuckle and, like, filleted it open.
Yeah.
And I look at her, and I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, yeah, I'm fine. And I'm like, are you okay? And she's like, are you okay? And I'm, like, passing out. Right?
Pussy. I mean,
it was like a uncontrollable reaction. I wasn't afraid of blood. I mean, hell, I'll go gut
a
deer.
You weren't afraid.
Like I pulled both my kids out of my wife, right? I'm not afraid of blood and guts. It was just a reaction.
First off, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Yeah.
No. Like, dude, I don't want to see my happy place in a way that it's not making me, you know what I mean? Like what the fuck?
Yeah. Every
You are a weird dude.
Yep.
So what was the chemical thing?
So
like, did it just go away? Did you ask your doctor? Like, what the fuck?
So anytime I had to get a shot, I'd get lightheaded. Anytime, like, I couldn't ever donate blood and all that stuff. When I worked at that place for 18 months, it was the worst place of my career.
Yeah.
And I had to go on antidepressants. I got on antidepressants. I left that place. I got to a better place. I didn't have stress or anything else. I was able to get off the antidepressants. And through that change, I have never had a reaction to blood or needles ever since. And now I go donate blood like every 3 months.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So
that's fucking crazy, dude.
It was like a chemical response to the thing which caused, it wasn't a fear of needles or anything else. Now, because of the chemical response, I grew to have an anxiety around needles.
Yeah.
Because I knew what would happen inevitably.
Dude, this may be a topic for a whole nother day, but for those of you that think that those medications, once you stop taking them, haven't affected your brain chemistry, we know now that that is...
Absolutely.
You are completely different.
And so like...
And will be forever.
Yeah.
And this like, is from I used someone to who to, said, I took them for like a year and a half.
Yeah. I used to tell... Those I used to have scary, to warn doctors like I'm a passer-outer, and so... and
I'm
that's,
a passer-outer.
That's what...
I know.
Like... That's how I would describe it because I wasn't afraid of needles. I didn't care about the needle at all.
No, but you would black out.
But I would pass out. And so like if I had to do a blood test for anything where they got to fill 3 or 4 vials of blood.
You got to lay
I
down.
I would tell them like I got to go to the lay down spot because I can't do it sitting in the chair because I'll fall out. And And they would be like, well, do we need to do anything else? I'm like, no. I just I can't control it. I just pass out. And now I don't have to do any of that anymore. Like, I'm almost to the point where I could watch them stick the needle in.
No judgment. Like, that never bothered me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
The only thing that bothers me is, like, when I'm dehydrated and they do it, and then they got to squish it around because they can't find the vein.
Yeah.
And that's not that it's bothering me. It's because that fucking hurts,
it feels
dude.
Weird.
It's like, what are you doing? If you could see her in there, they look you in the eye, and they're like, oh, I just can't find it. Maybe you should be watching what the fuck you're doing, not looking me in the eye. Like, what?
Yeah, that makes your throat feel funny. I'm talking weird just thinking about it. Like, that's a weird feeling in your stomach and in your throat when they do that. Because they're working on nerves that don't typically feel any sensation at all.
It goes down my spine is what it is.
It's like, ugh.
I've only had one in my hand ever. And that one, like, they usually won't do my hands. The guy stuck my hand and it went snap. And he goes, dude, your skin is like leather. And I was like, yeah. I've been outside. Like, I love being outside. I'm tan. I'm Indian. Like, he's like, no, seriously, that's like leather, dude.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah.
Yeah. It's funny.
Sorry.
When I give blood, like, you can see the veins in my arms.
Oh yeah.
They don't go for that vein.
No.
They go for a hidden one in the middle of my elbow that you can't even see.
If they go for this one, I've had this happen before. They put it in there. Well, the blood starts flowing so much that my arm swells up and there's a
bubble.
Bubble.
Huh.
Because the blood's trying to come out so fast, and they're like, oh, we fucked up.
Huh, interesting.
They got to redo it.
Yeah.
Not that anyone cares.
Then when I get an IV, they don't put it here. They put it here in my wrist somewhere. Yeah,
that one I had was like right there.
It's a weird spot
in my
wrist.
That one weird vein.
Yeah. So, but if you guys have
a squirter.
If you guys have any problems that you're trying to solve in business, email us. All of our contact info is in the description of the show. It's one thing for us to arbitrarily say, like, this is how you solve a problem and all of this stuff. But sometimes implementing this advice can be a little difficult. And so if you guys have any problems going on in your business, feel free to shoot us messages. We would love to talk about them on the show, and we would love to, help be a part of your solution. If your question or your problem's good enough, we'll even talk about it on the show and give you props and accolades and all of that kind of stuff. So feel free to reach out to us. No shortage of ways to do that. I guess that's going to be it.
Yeah, wrap us up, dog.
So at the time you're going to get this podcast, you're going to be like tryptophaned out on the couch Friday after Thanksgiving. So hopefully you guys are enjoying the day off. We close our company for the 4 days of Thanksgiving weekend, which is backwards for what a plumbing company should do. But we give our guys 4 days, 2 days paid for Thanksgiving. So we'll be off work on the plumbing company side of things. But
I'm not sure what I'm going to do yet.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do either. So, hopefully you guys had a good Thanksgiving, and we will see you next week.
See you.